For coming tonight. It's been a little bit of a long week for the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, in a good way. We got to go away and to spend time together in different ways. But part of the side effect of that is that by the time it's Thursday night comes, the Olam's exhausted or has plans for Shabbos. We have no tightness at all. But the heroes that do come, you know, you feel a special connection to and a special respect for. And I want to share with you Mitaycha Chavivas, I want to share with you a Sfasemes. I shouldn't even say a Sfasemes, I should say the way I understand the Sfasemes, because the Sfasemes are so deep that we can hope to have some glimpse of what they're saying. And it's a Sfasemes that personally for me a tremendous, tremendous chizuk, and I want to pass along the chizuk to you as well. He deals with an issue in the parsha that has to have bothered you when you've Marv Sedra. Like, there's no way you can't pass these psukim without it bothering you. The three malachim come and they say that Sarah's going to have a baby, and Sarah laughs. Batitzachek Sarah bikir bo lemar. Acharei b'loisi hoisali edna v'adayni zaken. And Hashem says to Avram, Lama ze tzachek Sarah bikir bo lemar. Why was Sarah tzaychek? So Avram turns to Sarah, and he says, "Why were you tzaychek? What does she say?" She says, "I wasn't." Vayomer, loy tzachakti. I did not laugh. Why did she say that? Ki yoreya, because she was afraid. Is that what we do? That's what an elderly tzadekes does. When the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Teiveya her, through her husband, the Navi, she says, no, I didn't do it. Like, is it even like a denial? What does that mean that I didn't laugh? What could it possibly mean? Yonah Tzakakasha? And Avram's like, Loi, ki tzachakt. No, you did laugh. End of conversation. What's going on here? I want to share with you a side, unbelievable. Rabbi Yisai, there's two types of tshuva, as we know. This tshuva may yira, and this tshuva may ava. This tshuva that one does out of a sense of regret and disappointment from what they did, like they didn't want to disappoint HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have yiras shemayim, or from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we do tshuva. And there's a higher level of tshuva where a person does tshuva out of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Sfasemes that when a person does tshuva out of yira, so it makes the Aveira go away. Zdainois nasa kishgagos. The Aveira goes away, Chazal say. And certainly that's very, very valuable. It makes the Aveira disappear. But when a person does tshuva mitaych ava, when a person does tshuva because he or she loves Hashem so much that he can't imagine the separation. I can't imagine being separated from you. And I need to get rid of this Aveira because I want to be with you again. So then, not only does the Aveira disappear, but it actually becomes a Zechus. Zdoinois nase loy kezachios, it becomes a Zechus. The Sfasemes takes this a step further. And he says, Sarah Imenu laughed. You know why she said I didn't laugh? Because she didn't. What do you mean? The Torah says she did. Yeah, but she did tshuva. What happens when you do tshuva? It goes away. The Aveira goes away. And she immediately, upon realizing that she laughed, and she shouldn't have laughed, what do you think her laugh was already? Her laugh was, wow, that would be incredible. You know, her laugh was, but Hashem sensed in her laugh a slight strand of lack of emuna. For the Madrega of the Tzadekas, of course her laugh was more like a laugh of like, these three Arabs are saying I'm going to have a baby, halavai. Of course that was her laugh. It wasn't like Hashem can't do that. But Hashem just sensed, because Hashem could sense, the slight, slight nuance, maybe that edged on the edge of a lack of emuna. Right? And she sensed it also. And she decided, laughing, no good. I have to get rid of this laugh. And she did tshuva to be oiker this laugh from her. She took it away. She erased it. She obliterated it. It was gone. It was not part of her anymore. Just like all of you did on Yom Kippur. When Matzah Yom Kippur came, you were free of Averis. We successfully obliterated and got rid of the Averis. The problem is that laughing is a good thing. Sometimes there could be a nuance that's not good. But a joy and a lebedikait and an ability to just have to be engaged in Torah and in Ruchnius in a positive, happy way, that's very good. And Avram Avinu gave Musar to Sarah. And he said, no, don't get rid of the laugh. Maybe you have to do a little tshuva there. But don't get rid of the laugh. Listen to the lashon of the pasuk, the way this Vasemis explains. But Sarah said, Avram said to Sarah, why did you laugh? Sarah said, Loitzachakti, ki yarea, because she did tshuva meyira. Because she had yira. Avram Avinu, who's the Av of Ava, Avram Avinu says, Loi, ki tzachakti, you did laugh. Don't take the laughing away from you. Don't try to get rid of the laugh. Wonderful midah that you laughed. How inspiring that you laughed. How positive. But Sarah went her whole life without children, except for Yishmael. She could have been bitter and negative and resentful, and she laughed. How wonderful. Avram said, no, kitzachakt, because you laughed. Don't get rid of that. The laughing is good. Was Sarah Makabel the Musar? Yes, she was, because it says that when Yitzchak Avinu was born, it says that Sarah said, Tzchaik Asali Elikim. Hashem did a tzchaik for me, I'm laughing. She was Makabel the Musar of her husband, and she laughed. And that, Rabbi say, Mitaycha Chavivos, that's the word I want to share with you tonight. Because very, very, very often there's a machla, and I feel safe to say that probably a nice number of you are afflicted with this disease. So I'm sorry, because you're afflicted with the disease, I have to talk about it. And the disease is called that many of you speak to yourselves in your own minds in a horrific way that you would never speak to your own friends. You call yourselves names in your mind. You call yourselves losers. You call yourselves all kinds of curse words that would never come out of your mouth. You denigrate yourself. You pressure yourself. You abuse yourself. And then you act very sweet to your chavrusa. But sometimes we spend too much time trying to say loitzachakti. We try to change our midos. We try to make ourselves into people that we are not. So maybe there are people here who are very lebedik and funny and gishmak and enjoy a good time. And maybe you go back to your room and I say, I really have to learn how to shut my mouth. And maybe there are people here who are quiet and introverts and thoughtful. And you go back to your room and you criticize yourself, like, how come everyone else has something to say and I don't have anything to say? And you have to remember what our Zayda of Avram Avinu taught us. Loi ki tzachakt. When you have a midah, we never apologize for the midah. We never try to change the midah. We just try to use the midah properly. If you're an extrovert and you're funny and you're lebedik, no, please, please continue to do that. That's amazing. Please continue to do that. Please. I had a great conversation with my son. I have a son who's in third year Beis Medrash in Philadelphia, and he's a very, very, very intense guy. Okay? He's very intense. And trust me, I know what intense means. Okay? He's a very, very intense guy. There, a couple of guys in this room have met him, right, Nima? A couple of guys in this room have met him. Am I right that he's intense? He's a super, super, super intense guy, okay? This is a guy that, like, writes, like, 15, 20 pages of his own chidushim as a Ben Azman in vacation, okay? I'm not exaggerating Megazim in any way, okay? I have all different types of children, do all different things, but this is my intense child. Okay? His name is Chaim. I want to tell you about Chaim. Okay? You remember Chaim?
Of course.
When Chaim was little, this, by the way, I want to introduce Rabbi Yonah Kaplowitz to you. He lives in Queens, and he was a Talmud of ours in Waterbury many years ago. So he remembers Chaim before he was in third year Beis Medrash in Philly. He remembers him as a young chevreman. And he was an insane child. Okay? He was an absolutely insane child. Okay? And he used to... He's that kid that's always like in a cast or an eye patch or broken leg. You know, he was like that kid. You know what I'm talking about? Like that kid. And he was a real chevroman, and he could not resist calling out jokes when he was in elementary school. Okay? And the poor principal was trying to like work with him here a little bit. Like, so the principal told him when he was like in fourth grade or fifth grade, that he's going to get him a notebook, and every time he thinks of a joke in class, he should write it down and tell it to the principal at the end of the day. But he shouldn't interrupt the class. And then the principal got called in. The Chaim said a joke in class. He said, Chaim, what happened to writing it in the notebook? And he was like, the timing, he was fourth grader, the timing was too perfect. You know? That's Chaim, okay? So now he's in Philly learning his head off. I was not happy. I was not happy. Kitzachakt. I was not happy. Where's the chevroman? And I was walking with him in the summer in Beit Hazmanim. I was like, Chaim, where's the chevroman? And he flicks his head up in his way that he lifts his head up when he's thinking. And he goes, it's a good kasha. He starts clearing the shaila. Okay? And now my other son learns a Chaim Berlin. And he's very close to the Rashi. Unfortunately, the Rashi was just Nifter, but he's very close to the Rashi Yeshiva, and he's very involved in the Machshava and Chaim Berlin and the Torah there. And those of you that know the Yeshivas a little bit, you know that Chaim Berlin and Philly are not similar in any way. They both are Orthodox Jewish Yeshivas. That's almost where the similarity ends, okay? They're not similar in any way. So when I asked Chaim, where's the Chevroman? He says, I'll tell you where the Chevroman is. The Chevroman is that I go to Chaim Berlin on Ben Azmanim for Ma'amarim. That's the Chevroman. You know, like he can go to the other yeshiva and listen to their Torah. That's the troublemaker. He says, I don't tell my friends that I do that, you know. But the point is, Rabbi say, we don't uproot our midos. We don't criticize ourselves for our midos. And we don't try to change our midos. If you are an extrovert and the life of the party, and you always have what to say, and you have a ton of friends, don't go back to your room saying, why do I talk so much, or why don't I learn more, and look at the other guy. We're always busy doing that in our heads. Look at my friend, he's so quiet, he just learns. He probably doesn't have a worry in the world. I'm reminded now, I didn't expect to say this, but I'm reminded now that there's a sefer that I have at home called Ben Yeshiva. It's written in a very sophisticated Ivrit, a very, very interesting sefer about the challenges that yeshiva bachram have. And he has in there a little article in the very beginning of the sefer where he talks about, and you guys know this, okay? I'm really just telling you what goes on in our minds. He says you have two guys sitting in Beis Medrash. One guy is sitting in the back, and the other guy is sitting a few tables up. And the one in the front is sitting in front of his Gemara, and he's humming and niggin to himself, and he's chuckling back and forth, and the one in the back is sitting intensely and trying to concentrate. And the one in the back is thinking about the one in the front. Let's say the one in the front is Shimon. And he says, Shimon is, look at him, look how happy he is. He's singing away there on the Gemara. He's so happy. He's so connected. The guys love him. Look how he's chuckling. It must be so easy for him. Me, I'm sitting here intensely. Maybe people think I'm concentrating on the Gemara, but all I'm concentrating on is how little I could concentrate. And I'm having such a hard time. And then he says, and then in Shimon's mind, Shimon is thinking to himself, look at me waving back and forth. They're trying to sing a nigga because I can't think about what the words of the Gemara mean for the life of me. And I'm so like lost over here. But look at Reuven in the back. He sits serene, quiet. He doesn't have to darshan. He doesn't feel like he has to talk to people. He doesn't say a word. He just sits and he learns with Yeshiva Das. Maybe he's a tzaddik nisar. I think he might be Elio Anavi, you know? And then he says, and look, even the Mashgiach wants to speak to him because the Mashgiach walked over and put his hand on his shoulder and started speaking to him. Meanwhile, the Mashgiach is saying to him, Reuven, what are we going to do about you looking so depressed? What are we going to do for you? But that's what we do in Beis Medrash. We constantly try to criticize ourselves. It's so delicious in Lashon Kodesh, this back and forth. But we try to criticize ourselves. We're sure that everyone else has the secret, has a trust me. Guys come to talk to me, I hear this all the time. That the other guy, this guy, that guy, these guys all have it together, but I don't have it together. And the reality is that all of us don't have it together and all of us do have it together, because we all are trying very hard to take the next step in our Avodas Hashem. And we're all trying. We all have some successes and some failures. We all have some on days and some really off days. And we try the best we can. And we have to be proud of the fact that in this day and age and at this time of our lives, we're putting our effort into trying to learn and daven and serve Hashem properly. And we cannot waste our time saying, Lo tzachakti. Our midah tovos, our midah is the midahs that Hashem gave us, and they are valuable. And whether you're the quiet Reuven in the back, or you're the singing Shimon in the front, it doesn't really matter. Wherever you are, that's where you need to be. Don't try to change your personality. Don't criticize your personality. Don't be ashamed of your personality. You are the laugher. You can laugh in Avodas Hashem. You need to be able to have that simcha. And Sara Imenu listens to the musar of her heliga husband, and she says, Tzchaik asali alikim, when Yitzchak is born, by the way, his name is Yitzchak, his name is Tzchaik also, and she takes on that mahalach of Tzchaik, and so should we. And that's what I want to end with. After such an amazing week in yeshiva of pulling together and becoming a little more family-like, I'm sharing with you a little bit about my family, but that's our lesson. Please, Rabbi Yisai, please, please, please. When you scream at yourself, you're also screaming at Hashem's son. When you scream at your friend, you don't have a right to do that, because you don't have a right. If you scream at my child, I'm going to have tinnitus on you. Please don't scream at my child. And when you scream at another yid, you're screaming at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child. And he doesn't want you screaming at his children. And you have to remember this. When you scream at yourself, you're also screaming at the Rabbi Shalom's child. And he doesn't want you to do that either. He wants you to respect yourself. He wants you to know that he gave you all the midas that you need to do your tafkid. And that if there are actions that we need to change, we could try to change those actions. But let's not change the midas that make us who we are. Yashakayach.